Привет всем. That means hi everyone in Russian. Welcome to another episode of The Truth Courier. Today's episode will be the final episode for season 1. But not to worry, season 2 will be returning on the 2nd of July, which is 2 weeks from now. So you won't have to miss your favorite podcast for too long. Coming back to today's episode, my guest, who is a certified health practitioner and a highly gifted nurse, will be joining me to debunk 15 medical myths. As Africans and Nigerians, we sure have heard and believed a lot of false information about so many things, and our health isn't excluded. This has led to many unnecessary deaths and pain that could have been avoided. There are so many health myths in our society, but today my guest and I will be discussing just 15 of them. Without further ado, let's make welcome Nurse Ife Inwa to the show. Welcome, Nurse. You're highly welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Hello, everyone. It's an honor to be with you this evening.
Wow. So the honor is mine, honestly, because I know you made out time for this. Before we proceed to debunking some of these myths, please tell us more about yourself.
Okay. My name is Ife Inwa Blessing Emeka. I'm a registered nurse. I graduated from School of Nursing, Nnamdi Azikiwe University Hospital. And I'm currently working and also an entrepreneur.
Wow, that's so amazing.
Sorry, I didn't mention. Right. I'm also a wife and a mom, yes.
Oh, yeah. I've seen your baby. She's very beautiful.
Thank you.
I know medicine and medical courses aren't easy at all. So, how were your days in nursing school? Is there any experience, whether good or bad, that you can share with us today?
Well, my experiences were a mix of both good and not so funny experiences. It was challenging, seriously, because getting into nursing school was not quite what I expected.
Yeah.
It was not a regular high institution, so it was quite challenging. But we just, one way or the other, we had to cope. You know, this country just has a way of making you cope in
very true
circumstance. So it was both good and sweet and bitter experiences, but it all made us who we are today. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. Wow. I remember when I was growing up, I used to say I wanted to become a doctor, but as I entered school, maths and sciences, they really dealt with me. So, as in, I had to just run away to art class, but I would just fail, you know. So, anyway, we have about 15 health myths today to debunk. So, let's get started right away.
Okay.
I'm running, running, running back to you. Tell me which kind of God be this, oh. God who ain't no fit to decrease, oh. God will place me far from disease, oh. Original God, oh. Flesh and blood no be tolerated, oh. But Jah no be flesh and blood, oh. Talking of a merciful God, a glorious God, and I must have it to the end of time.
Oh, that song you just heard right now is Tim Godfrey's Calling, as covered by the highly talented musician Promise Daniels. To hear the full song and some of his other songs, go check him out on Instagram at Promise Daniels, that's Daniels with a Z at the end. So, Nurse Ife Inwa, please, can you just briefly tell us what a health myth is before we start debunking them?
Okay, health myths are false beliefs, or they are beliefs or traditions that have over time been proven to be false. Although people still practice it, people still hold on to it, but we have realized over time through scientific research and we found out that those things are false. So myths are false beliefs.
Okay. There's things about health that people believe that is not true.
That is not true, exactly.
Okay. So let's start with myth number one. This particular myth is a myth that is very popular in Nigeria. I've known about it all my life. And frankly, still today, I kind of still believe it. So I don't know if it's true or not. They said putting spoon in a convulsing person's mouth, because the belief is supposedly that if the person's teeth closes, they will die. So what do you have to say about this one?
Well, conversion, the whole practice is born out of ignorance, because people have no idea about conversion or what it entails or what is actually happening inside the body, in the brain, when a child or a person is convulsing. So that's because of that. And you know, whenever convulsion, a child is convulsing, the atmosphere is very tense.
Yes.
People are confused. They feel they associate convulsion with something tragic or something like the person is about to die or something.
Yes,
they don't want to do one thing or the other to just keep the person alive. So they probably think, I don't know why they believe, I don't know what actually makes them think that when the teeth clenches together that the person will die. But anyway, convulsion is something that happens. When it happens, it subsides.
Yes.
It subsides. It doesn't just continue. And even if it continues, it will stop at some point.
Yeah.
So we don't know, if the child is convulsing, just let the person be, you know. You don't need to restrain, you don't need to hold the person, you don't need to struggle or try to force the person to force anything to the person's mind, because doing that can injure the person. You can, in the place of pushing the person, you injure the tooth, injure the gum, or you can even cause the person the person to aspirate. Swallowing blood or something, and it goes into the, instead of going to the stomach, it goes into the tract. They are causing more problems. The convulsion will subside. That is the truth. You don't need to. The convulsion, it's not whatever you do that will make it that spoon anything. It will subside. So once it subsides, you don't take the person to the hospital.
Okay. I've also heard this one, that using udaki, that's palm kernel oil, on a baby can stop convulsion.
Using any form of oil or applying any stuff and anything at all can, you know, cause more problems for us. Usually convulsion, especially in children, that usually suffer febrile convulsion as a result of high temperature.
Yes.
And at that point in time, we expect it to expose the child. So the child can gain air from the outside environment into the body that will cause cooling effects. But you know, the oil you apply or whatever it is you apply closes off the pores on the skin. So the air cannot penetrate and enter into the body. And by forcing the body to retain heat. That is why you see when the weather is cold, you apply Vaseline.
Vaseline
you apply is to prevent your body to lose from losing heat into the external environment.
So doing that
in convulsion is more like causing more problems. But you know, the temperature will keep on spiking and the person will keep on having recurrent convulsions and seizures, and you know, before you know, it will get worse.
So the
child is having, expose the child needs air. Bat the child, expose the child, then bring the child to the hospital. Don't apply anything or worsen issues for us.
That's true. Okay, so myth number two we have here is a lot of Nigerians are guilty of this one. Taking antibiotics for catarrh or antibiotics for catarrh. So what do you have to say about this one?
Taking antibiotics, first of all, we are strongly against self-medication. You understand? If you have any health challenge or difficulty and you feel that you need to start taking drugs, go to the hospital. When I mean hospital, I mean go to the hospital. I'm not saying go to the chemist or a drug shop that will end up mixing one thing or the other and giving you the thing.
If
you feel that you are not okay, that you need to take drugs, then go to the hospital. The hospital is in the best position to tell you what to do and give you health advice.
Yes.
So taking antibiotics for catarrh, most catarrhs or cold in general is usually caused by, they're usually viral. Sometimes even as a result of allergies. Taking antibiotics is not like you're just suffering your body, causing your body to develop resistance, unnecessary resistance. So just it's not necessary actually. Most times, most common colds just allow the body to take care of it. The body has a way of running, allowing the virus to run its course on your system. So it'll be fine. There's a need to take drugs. Please go to the hospital. Don't self-medicate at all.
That's very true. The third myth that we have here, you've kind of answered it in the second one, but let's just ask you because there might be something you would add to it. This myth is that too much AC or fan can cause cough and catarrh. Like sometimes when even me, I've noticed it, whenever I sleep under maybe fan or AC, I develop common cold. So is it true that it's the AC or the fan that causes it?
All right. AC and fan on its own, you know?
Yeah.
The function that AC and fan plays does not cause cold.
Okay.
It does not cause catarrh. The issue we have is that, you know, most people body differs. And what this person's body tolerates is that people that comfortably, someone I heard says, for her to sleep at night, she must put on her AC and fan at the same time. So, body systems differ. But usually, the issue is usually the challenge we have that people stay on that fan and look for a long period of time. You see them sneezing and coughing, that sometimes the fan helps in spreading some allergies and allergens in the air that, you know, you end up inhaling, and before you know, you start sneezing and you now start having cold.
Yeah.
So usually you see some of these allergies are dust particles.
Yeah.
In the air, even in our AC. I can tell you how many Nigerians open, from just like the way they clean their rooms, they open their AC chamber and clean the dust. They open their mouth to clean the blade. You see, they handle it. So when the AC is on, it releases those dust. You might not really notice it like when there's serious dust per se, but in little amounts, you inhale it over time.
Yes.
You see, your body starts reacting. There's an accumulation in your respiratory system. At point, it starts sneezing and start having catarrh and the rest of it.
Wow.
And another thing is that some people's body are very sensitive. You know, any little thing, they just some people just need some amount of this allergy to see them sneezing.
Yes.
So if you're like that, then maybe you have to reduce your AC use and fan and all the rest. But
okay.
The function itself is not what causes cold.
Okay. So it's just the dust that's been accumulated over time. When the fan is now blowing, it can blow in those dust into your system. Okay. Wow. All right. Let's move on to myth number 4. This one is quite popular. Is that you can contact Apollo by looking directly into the eyes of someone who has it. Please, not even why is this true?
It reminds me of when we used to believe all those things. It's so funny.
Yeah.
That even me, once I look at Apollo, even this one white stuff that fly around like that, they say that's
Apollo. That's actually true.
Thank God for London. Anyway, what we call Apollo is conjunctivitis. It's an inflammation of the outer covering of the eye, the conjunctiva.
Yeah.
So it's from, can be from external factors like dust. Too much exposure to some dust and some form of allergies into the eye. That's why you see some people travel long distances and they come back itching their eyes. Because of that, the eye that's taking a lot of dust particles. It could also be viral, it could also be caused by bacteria. So it's not something that you just look at. Don't know the kind of magic. Maybe it's those kind of things. You think that one is magic.
So yeah, but is it contagious?
Yes, it's very contagious. That is why people actually think that it's by looking into other person's eye. That is why.
Okay.
That's how you can contact it.
Yeah.
So the thing is that conjunctivitis causes serious itching. You always want to itch your eye and all that.
Yes.
And if someone that is having conjunctivitis is usually tearing. You see, the person is always
scratching. That's true.
And tear is always coming out. So usually, if it's caused by a virus or bacteria, you see that when you itch your eye, that's the substance that comes out from the eye. You might use it to shake another person's hand.
Yes.
That's why you shake this person still unknowingly puts the hand in the eye. And that's why you see, usually they advise when a child, in secondary school and primary schools, when a pupil or student is having conjunctivitis, you tell the person to stay at home.
Yes.
Not because when you look at the person, you're going to contract it, but because it's very, it's very hard to tell a child not to itch the eye.
Yes.
So they are always itching, and before you know, next thing, they're going to place the hand on this their fellow pupils and the rest, and that is how it spreads.
Yeah,
so
that's
not by
true.
Looking at the person's eye.
Okay. So people that will see that white substance flying and start running, stop running. No. That's not the cause of Apollo, please. Okay. Myth number 5 is very old actually, and it has caused problems for so many new mothers. This means is that you must drink hot water or use it to massage your tummy after giving birth to get rid of bad blood. Ozima, please, yeah. What do you have to say about this one?
Well, as much as I know that we can never win, we are not sure we are going to win that fight anytime soon. But
yeah.
We're saying the truth and encouraging mothers. Because usually when you tell someone to drink hot water, hot water is not palatable. It's not palatable at
yeah.
all.
So especially in this our country itself that is very hot.
This hot temperature. So when you're telling someone to take hot water, the amount of water the person is going to take will be reduced. And we usually encourage new mothers to drink water to
yes.
stay hydrated at all times. Because you know, due to breastfeeding, there is an increase in demand of fluid in the body.
Yes.
So the mother needs to be hydrated. That is drink a lot of fluid. But when it's hot water, you see, they now start taking a little amount, and before you know, they are getting dehydrated because the child is breastfeeding too. So hot water is not. If someone can actually lost taking hot water, or did I say warm water? Because I'm not sure anybody can drink hot water.
Yes.
Warm water.
Yes.
Fine. But we just need to drink a lot of it.
Okay.
You need to drink a lot. That is the most important thing. Drink a lot of water. If it's warm water that is fine by you, if that's okay. The thing is that the moment the water is entering into your stomach, it converts to, you know, the temperature of the internal body. You
yeah.
understand?
Yeah, yeah.
Internal body temperature. It converts immediately. So if you like drink hot water that is at 100 degree boiling point, you only end up injuring your mouth. But at the end of it, all, your body converts it to normal in the temperature of the internal body.
That's true.
And applying body hot water on the tummy. Anyway, the tummy, our uterus, our womb always have a way of getting rid of blood, remaining blood that needs to
the so-called bad blood.
Yeah, the so-called bad blood, exactly. The body has a way of getting that. Whether you massage, you don't massage hot water, it will come out. So that just God has already placed it that way. There's a physiology behind it.
Okay.
So if you're massaging hot water, you can even end up injuring the woman where you want to massage, where you want to stick inside hot water, you cause more harm than good.
Yes.
You know, this practice is no longer encouraging because of the harm it causes, and we know that it doesn't do anything.
Yes.
As much as I know that many people, it's very hard to let go, especially with our mothers.
Our
mothers,
they'll tell you that their grandmothers did it, their great grandmothers did it.
That is just, even with health practitioners are even finding it difficult with their own mothers. They're not stuck of someone that is still trying to learn.
Yes.
So we just keep on encouraging. Some are changing, but we keep on saying, we don't want you to cause harm for yourself. And we know that these things don't work. So please, just after birth, the most important thing is for you to take care of yourself and take care of your child. Make sure you're eating well. You know, the body get rid of the blood at most 6 weeks time.
Okay.
So
okay. And the blood being there, it can't cause harm to the body, right?
Why? It won't cause harm. It will leave.
Okay.
So it will, the blood that is supposed to leave the body.
Yeah.
From the womb will leave.
Yeah.
But they will all come out.
Okay. So this sixth myth is still kind of connected to the fifth one. Is that women should only drink hot water after having cesarean section, that's CS.
Well, I did just this in the previous question.
If you want to take
ice water after your delivery, please take. If it's ice cream you want to take, please take. We just need to if you want to take cold juice, please take. Imagine going through the challenges of labor, strain and everything, they now come and they now give you hot water. You're supposed to have one filled as in from the fridge. Drink and you pull yourself in. If it's a bowl of ice cream, you take. For the women that have CS, I know that maybe they might not be able to take anything, you know, for the first 24 hours or so.
Yeah,
and afterwards, you'll start telling them to take a little amount of fluid, you know, and graduate down. So the fluid they are going to start taking is, you can take, it can be cold, it can be warm, but we just need to take a lot of fluid. All the hot water stuff don't have anything to do with your
healing or anything.
Your healing or anything.
Okay.
Just drink water, and breastfeed adequately.
Yeah. Okay. So the seventh myth still has to do with pregnant women. We are hammering on pregnant women because we know that a lot of them need to know these things.
Yeah.
So The seventh myth is that a woman should not have sexual intercourse when she's pregnant, or because some people say either the baby may die or it may affect something in the baby. So please, what can you tell us about this one?
That's serious. Meanwhile, what I usually hear mother say is that when you're approaching your third trimester towards delivery, you have sex frequently so that the baby will come out easily.
Have you?
Anyway, yeah. When a woman is pregnant, most important thing to discuss with your doctor is the best position to, you know,
the most important thing is to
discuss with your doctor.
Okay.
Yeah, you need to discuss with him. If you have any fear or challenge about your pregnancy, discuss with him. If your pregnancy is okay, you're not having, it's not a high-risk pregnancy. So high-risk pregnancy is pregnancy that needs to be monitored, you know.
Okay.
That you are careful about. You need to monitor the pregnancy. So in that case, the doctor might tell you, okay, avoid this, avoid that. But if there is no issue, you can have sex from day one of pregnancy to day last. Even if you are in labor and you want to have sex, you
okay, so you can have sex even the 8th or 9th month of your pregnancy. It's not dangerous.
Do your thing, Jerry.
Okay. So, are there any specific sexual positions that might be better for pregnant women?
And the sexual positions are positions that make the woman comfortable.
Okay. So, okay.
Because when you're pregnant, a lot of things have changed, you know, body framework and all that. So, just take a position that will make you comfortable.
Okay.
Usually, the missionary position is no longer advised again now because you have to lie on your back. So
that's
what, even normal sleeping, we don't even advise pregnant women to sleep on their back. So just take position that you know if you are comfortable with.
Okay. So any position, as long as you're fine with it, it's okay.
Exactly.
All right. Okay, let's move on to the eighth myth. This one is making incision on a baby's body to get rid of bad blood. I don't understand. Where is all this bad blood coming from, please? I actually never knew people did this one. So, what? Please enlighten us about it.
Blood that is inside someone's body is now bad. I don't know how. I don't know who makes this kind of diagnosis. I don't know the people that make that just have something bad in our body.
Uh-huh.
I think in people they call it Omafo or something like that, and they just take it of late and make some incisions on the tummy or sometimes on the chest, sometimes even on the head. I don't even know. Up to now, I'm yet to wrap my head around what that actually is, but it's wrong. If your child is, you take the child to the hospital, you're not, I most times they finish doing that and still bring the child to the hospital. Why did you bring the child to the hospital? That is because they realize that it's not working. The child is worse because when you cause an incision, they don't manage those injuries well, and it's a site for infection. The situation of the child. So if the child is, if you take the child to the hospital, you have not complained. Most times it's because this person will give his own advice. My mom said she will give his own advice. That's happened to 500 of her children. That is what she did. These will come from this place and you'll not be tempted. Sometimes it's not even just mothers that do these things. It's either their mother-in-laws, their grandmothers that take their child and do those things to them.
That's true.
It's very appalling because we've lost many children to all these, beliefs. And it's very sad.
Yeah.
So if your child is sick for whatever reason, just take the child to the hospital. Take the child to the hospital. But we keep on trying and keep on saying these things so that one day, we believe that one day our mothers, you know, we will learn and take the health of their child in their hands.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Mother should, you know, stand your ground. If someone that does not know, if someone that is a medical professional should come and tell you, cut your baby's blood, like, why should you listen to that person?
Why should you listen to that person?
Okay, we are going to be talking about the night meet now. Okay, this one is actually very funny because I once overheard a man telling his friend that he was telling his friend the importance of marrying a woman with big breasts because according to him, the bigger the breast, the higher the milk supply for their baby. So please, is there any truth to this?
It reminds me of the post I made a certain time on Facebook. And the men wanted to finish me. Big breast for them. Now that is my own cup of tea. I believe they are big breasts for them. Anyway, the size of breast has nothing to do with breastfeeding or how much breast milk that we produce. The difference between a big breast and a small breast is fat. It is what it is. There is no long story about it. The difference between a big breast and a small breast is fat.
Exactly.
That are responsible for producing breast milk, they are the same for everybody. So it's just breast milk that it's just fat that differentiates this whole thing. So it has nothing to do with breast milk production.
Okay. Okay, so which means whether the person is slim or the person is fat, the same breast milk supply doesn't depend on the size of the breast.
Yeah, just make sure that there are other factors that can affect production of breast milk, but it has nothing to do with the size. Those factors have nothing to do with the size.
Okay. So guys, in case you like girl with big breast, just say you like girl with big breast. Stop blaming your innocent children for marrying someone that has big breast. Okay. Let's move to the 10th myth on our list today. This one is that egg yolks are bad for you because of excessive content of cholesterol. So is this true?
Egg yolks are actually high in cholesterol, but no, eggs are plant proteins.
Okay.
They're animal proteins. They're very healthy. So the most important thing is that you don't take an excess. Because in everything in life, you have to strike a balance. Even the normal water, we advise drink water. You can take too much of water that can cause you harm. So everything in life is just
moderation.
Mm-hmm. In moderation, exactly. So you take them in moderation. Egg is okay for children, youth, adults. Egg is very okay. You can incorporate into your diet. You can. They advise you take egg at least 6 to 7 times a week. So you can take egg. One of the reasons is that, you know, sometimes we don't, our foods, especially in this part of the world, we can't say exactly because their daily requirement for each slice of food is expected that each day you're supposed to take this amount of protein, you're supposed to take this amount of carbohydrates, you're supposed to take, but you don't monitor all that. So that's why sometimes you just say, take egg, because we are not sure that you're having this amount of protein in your meal. Even cholesterol, there's an amount that your body is supposed to have. We are not sure that we just let you take an egg, take one every day. So the most important, if you have high cholesterol, it's a good place one at risk of heart disease. So if you are concerned that if you're having heart disease or you are predisposed to it, you should speak to your doctor and to your one who has well planned the dietitian, to fix a good diet plan
for you. Okay.
So. But we don't just sit down and just, we are not concerned about egg yolk causing high cholesterol, increasing the cholesterol level of the body. We are more concerned about, it's even better you take more of all these animal and plant proteins than going for all these processed food that is very common with people nowadays. Those are even the ones that causes all these problems that we're talking about.
Yeah, okay. So even because I've heard a lot of people say that as you're growing older, you should stop taking egg. Like my mom now, I don't think she eats egg again. If you tell her to eat egg, it's like her cholesterol, this, that. So is it bad for elderly people, like people that are aging?
That's why, so there are daily requirements. There are requirements for them. It's not bad.
Okay.
It's not bad. We cannot just rule it off and say, when you become an adult or when you get aged, you should stop taking it. It's not bad. But it should just be given to them in moderation.
Okay.
They can as well take one egg per day. It's not bad.
Yeah.
But if they are at risk of, if they now have maybe some heart disease and you are more concerned about it, it's just best to speak with your doctor.
Okay.
You understand? And that is not it. But don't sit down on your own and just rule out something and say you might not know that you are even having a deficit of it.
Yeah, you're damaging your body because of lack of it. Oh, wow. Okay. Before we continue to the 11th myth, let's just go on a very short break.
Hey, you. Yes, you. Have you got a special moment in your life that you wish to remember forever? Be it a wedding, child dedication or naming ceremony, graduation ceremony, birthday bash, and other special events. And what better way to keep memories alive than with pictures and videos? Contact Calligraphic Media and Communications for all your cinematography, event coverage, photo editing, and professional video or movie production needs. You can reach them on their Facebook or IG at Collie_Photography or send an email to qualiphotography@gmail.com. Contact them today for quality photos and videos that can help you preserve those lifetime memories.
Welcome back. This is still the Truth Courier, and we are still debunking 15 health myths. So the 11th myth on our list today is one that me, so I think I'm actually guilty of believing this one too. So is that slim people are healthier than fat people. What are your thoughts on this one?
Wow, this is a very sensitive topic.
Yeah, that's
true. I don't want to feel body shamed and all that. Anyway, yes. My ground is usually advice just people should get to know their BMI.
Okay, what's that?
The body mass index.
Okay.
Get to know your BMI. That way you know whether they are a range. You know whether you are underweight, you are average, you are normal, you are overweight, you are obese, and morbidly obese.
Yeah.
So just know the category you fall into. That will help you in knowing if you are healthy or not. Some slim people are not healthy.
Yes.
Understand? There are people that are underweight, they are also at risk of many diseases. Same thing with people that are overweight and, you know, obese. So just know the category you fall into and know how you can work on it.
Yeah. And I think they actually, this BMI, I think they have calculators online, so you can just easily put in your height and your weight there.
Exactly.
Okay. So someone's health does not depend on their size. It's just to know whether your body weight matches your height. Okay. All right. Let's move over to myth number 12. This one, I do it often, so I better hope it's not true. Cracking one's knuckles often can cause arthritis. What do you have to say about this one? Is it true?
I crack my nipples. My knuckles very often. Like, consciously, I just do it. I do that often.
Yeah.
I read very often, so I think from what I studied about and what I know about, cracking knuckles does not place one at risk of arthritis. Cause arthritis at all. Rather, I would say if you're having arthritis or bone already existing arthritis or bone joint disorders, then you will not need to crack your knuckles. Because, for example, I remember when I was in school, I was playing volleyball, and I twisted my thumb. So since then, I usually have some pain from time to time in that thumb. And whenever I crack the thumb, I usually experience excruciating pain that lasts for days before it goes. So you see, in that case, I don't need anybody to tell me that I don't need to be cracking that particular. Cracking your knuckles that on the normal is not going to cause arthritis for you. But if you're having arthritis or having some joint disorders, then you have to stay away from cracking your knuckles. Although people still expertly advise that you don't do it very often, you don't have to,
crack it all the time. Yeah.
Just like we talked about the other time, moderation. Something. You don't have to do it.
Moderation.
Right.
Yeah, because I know that there was one time I was cracking my knuckles and someone was like, "Hey, that is what you're doing. That you want to have arthritis." I was like, "How does cracking of knuckles give me arthritis?" They went ahead to explain so much. I was like, okay, me that cracks knuckle like 15 times a day, which means I'm dead now. Okay, well, thank you for clarifying that. Let's move over to myth number 13. This one is that putting rope on a baby's head stops hiccup.
And even people that know that it does nothing, they just that feeling of
just put the rope there.
When it's done to some needs and beliefs, as far as it doesn't have any harm, it won't cause any harm. We don't bother about it. So you won't see a doctor or somebody trying to hold a mom for putting rope on the baby's head.
Okay.
You want to put 100 ropes, want to pack all the ropes and put on the But we know that it's not what causes hiccups. We know what causing hiccups is very common among babies. You know, so, and it will stop. It will stop. And sometimes it's, when the baby's thirsty or something, you can just give the baby breast milk or water and it will be fine. But yes. still, the hiccup will go. So, but since it doesn't have any effect on the child, if putting a rope will make you feel that it will stop the hiccup, fine. You can put the rope, but that's not what stops the hiccup.
Okay.
It's not.
Okay. So, just maybe giving the baby water or breast milk can stop the hiccup on its own.
Sometimes it doesn't, because I've had the experience. Sometimes you give water, the baby's still having hiccup. It's even these days, my sister will keep on, I'll be like, keep her something. I'll be like, my dear, stop making this hiccup look like it's some, this is the normal something. It will stop.
Okay. So, it's not harmful in any way.
You don't know. It's hiccup is normal in children. It's no big. So,
okay. All right. Okay, that's great. So, it's not something to be too worried about. Okay, so let's move on to the 14th myth. This one is actually very dangerous because I don't see why a reason why someone should throw a baby up in the air. But, well, the myth is that throwing babies up in the air removes fear from them. Okay, this sounds ridiculous, but let me let you handle this one. What do you have to say about it?
We frown greatly at throwing babies in the air. We frown against it. As in, we frown is a no-no. We don't take tolerate it at all because of over time it has caused a lot of problems. Why should you throw a child in the air? Like, what fear? The child is not even aware of anything or something. I don't even know how our mothers just came up with these things. But we frown at it greatly. Don't throw a child up for any reason. Don't throw them up. You can play with them, you can carry them and do all the things you want, but don't throw them in the air because there's risk for falling. That our mothers finished bathing this baby, and the next thing they throw them up in the air. And
why they're still wet?
Why they're still wet? And you are trying to catch the baby can slip off your hand. We've had that incident. I've read the story of Asna, also had this, seen an experience, you know, seen it happen. So you throw the child up in the air, and next thing the baby lands on the child and died at the spot. This one that didn't even give the child died at the spot. So we frown greatly, and sometimes the first of the most times I've seen it when they want to throw this child in the air, they first of all shake the child because some of them are part of removing the fear now.
Yeah.
They shake the child, throwing the child in the air. And shaking the child is very as we frown at it because it can cause what we call shaking baby syndrome. For these children, and shaking baby syndrome causes brain damage.
Wow!
So you know, when they do it over time, and because the brain has not formed fully to treat.
Yes, the brain has not developed fully.
Exactly, there's still a space between the skull and the brain. So when you are shaking this, brain is hitting the skull, and you are rupturing some blood vessels there. So you are causing injury to the brain. And one thing about brain tissues is that they cannot regenerate. So you see, there's a deformities, you know, over time, we are causing injury and it. So we found when that, and another thing, when you throw a baby in the air, you can cause, because most babies don't have control of their neck until 4 to 6 months. So you throw the baby in the air, the neck is suspended, you can cause a strain on the neck muscles. So all these things are many more the reasons why we found greatly. Just please leave these children alone. They will grow. They will grow. They will don't need to, all those things don't take away. Many children they chew like that, and even up to now, any little noise, you see them scamper for sleep or something and laughing. So
I'm telling you, I know that they threw me up in the air when I was little because I used to see some pictures and I'm still not, I know be fear. Yeah. Okay, you guys have heard it. Please stop throwing babies up in the air. It can cause severe brain damage, and you know, you can break their neck, they can fall in the process. And some people are not even careful about it. You will just see fan is turning in front of you, like throwing a baby up in that front of. That's
quite.
Yes. You know, sometimes in Nigeria, maybe when you throw your someone wants to play with your baby and you're like, please don't do that, to feel like you're using your baby to do shakara or something. It's better someone thinks that way. Protect your baby.
Yeah, once you're not, you see someone don't do anything, you're not comfortable with your child, you tell them immediately. They can then
exactly.
The safety of the child is more important.
Exactly. Safety of your child is more important than somebody liking you. Okay. Let's move on to the 15th. Oh, this is the last meet we have today, but certainly not the least. It's that epilepsy is transferable if you touch someone having an epileptic fit. Oh, okay. Wow. So before you answer this one, let me just quickly tell you an experience I had with this.
Okay.
When I was in secondary school, I remember I was going to the dining one day because I went to a boarding school, and a junior student, she said she fell down and started shaking. And, you know, she was having an epileptic fit. And I didn't know she was epileptic. So when I saw her shaking on the ground, I rushed to go and help her because there was just water on the ground. And the way she was going, I knew that she might soon fall into that water. I wanted to touch her. And people were like, no, that if she, because she was foaming at the mouth. So they were like, if that speed should touch me, I mean, I'm going to develop epilepsy. But because I couldn't just leave her to, you know, stay there, I went to help her and I ended up getting the spit on my body. You know, I didn't sleep for like 3 days because I was waiting for epilepsy to
start.
So, please, what do you have to say about this one? Because it's quite, till today, it still happens though. So, please tell us about this.
Wow, this is actually this one is very real and it's very sad at the same time. Because if someone is having an epilepsy, they didn't bargain or plan for it.
Yeah,
so, and there's a lot of stigma attached to epilepsy. But it has touching someone that has been epileptic or this foam coming out from the person's mouth coming in contact with you will not in any way cause epilepsy. Epilepsy is something that has to do with the brain. So it's not even something that is in the blood or anything that you say it touches you or you come in contact with you.
It's just a brain deficiency, something like that.
Yeah, it's a problem of the disease of the brain. So it has nothing to do with it. It is not contagious. You will not become epileptic because you help somebody that is epileptic. Please, if you see someone that is having an epileptic, there's something you can do. We are not telling you to restrain the person. When I mean restrain the person, I'm not trying to tell you to come and hold the person, tie the person up or something. You have to be there because they are not aware of what is happening to them. So you have to be there, watch them, ensure that they don't, while they're having the fit, they don't come in contact with anything. Fire, water, stone, sharp objects, and all that. You're there to help them, to remove all those things away from them. Sometimes it can happen in the open space. Maybe the person just walking on the road. And the next
So like that one I experienced it. She was just walking and she just fell and started shaking.
And start shaking. So sometimes you can be close to a gutter, you prevent the person from falling into the gutter. If there's a stone, you take the stone away, that sharp object, just move it away from that from the environment and allow the person, the seizure will stop. You know, the seizure will stop. And once it stops, you know, sometimes in most cases they get up. And you'll be there to reassure them and just let them know that everything is fine. If they don't, you can still make arrangements for them to get help to the hospital. If someone is having a seizure or epilepsy, just be there for the person. You don't need to run away. It has nothing to do. Just that in this part of the world, religion has done a lot of damage to us. So they think that epilepsy is a demonic something.
Something
that was sent to the person or something. That is very very. So if someone is having epilepsy, you can help. Yeah, and the stigma attached to epileptic patients is very, very bad.
Yeah, it's too bad.
Very bad. They feel they are being treated like lepers and all that.
Yes.
It's wrong. So please, all these things, just like you said, they are myths. It's not true. They are very unreal. They are very, very real. So let us, get enlightened and do things the right way.
Okay. Yeah, so you guys have heard it. Please, let's stop criticizing or discriminating against people that have epilepsy. It's just a disease. They didn't ask for it. And I remember even when I was in school, one of my classmates, she used to have epilepsy. And I remember back then, anytime the thing starts, as in you see, they'll call boys to come and hold her down. And as in some woman, they'll straighten her neck and be trying to force her to stay in one place. And it doesn't
very wrong. We don't restrain. You can cause dislocation at that time. You can cause strain. Don't injure the muscles.
Okay.
So these are involuntary movements happening in the muscles and skeletal system. So you don't need to restrain. We are against restraining. Just let them be. Just allow them. Just make sure the environment is safe for them.
Safe, yeah. So they don't come in harm's way.
So not cause more. They don't get injured in the process. So that.
Wow. Okay. But this is I've learned. To say that I've learned and unlearned so many things today would be a huge understatement, because you've really done justice to all these myths. And I'm sure my listeners too have also learned a lot. Before we just go, we would like to know, do you have any last words of advice you can just give to everyone out there?
Well, I would say to everyone listening, please, we are all learning. People should give room to learn. You have to be open-minded. Even me, I'm still learning a lot of things in this profession. I'm yet to know. But there are some things I knew when I was in school that has changed over time. So, and I can't just come out and say, no, this is how it was. This is how they taught me, and it must be like this. No. I have to adjust. I have to be open-minded. I have to unlearn. I have to relearn. So that is what I expect of people. Most times, they are trying to tell people that this thing is not like this. And they're trying to tell you, no, who told you? Who did this? Is it because you're helping me and all that? We have to be open-minded. We have to be ready to learn. You know, it makes the world a better place. So please, let's be open to learning. Let's get rid of all these ideas and all this meat that was transferred to us from our mothers. They didn't know them. They didn't know them. That is the truth. They'll tell you that it was been working. It works for this. It works for them. But it can actually give you a record of how many people that have died. Those are times that when people die mysteriously, and you don't let me know say mysteriously, from these things, common things we're talking about now, to tell you that the person was an Obanje, it was...
Yes, you said this one like epilepsy now, they can say the person was an Obanje.
The person is caught or something, but they don't know that these are the things that they did that caused it. So now we don't have any excuse right now. We have the internet, we have our doctors here and there, the hospital is always there. Let us be open-minded. If you have any health challenge, go to the hospital, don't go to social media, because that's the challenge we're having now. Now we have online doctors. You know, once you just come, maybe somebody will ask questions, but you know, somebody from somewhere behind the keypad will just diagnose the person really, and you know. So if you have a health challenge, if you have any concern, go to the hospital, speak with the doctor, and you know, it will save you a lot.
Yeah, that's true. Also, you guys have heard it all. Thank you so much, Nurse Ifeanyi, for coming on the show today.
Thank you too for having me. It's an honor. Seriously, I enjoyed everything.
Yeah. We enjoyed your presence too. You guys, Nurse Ifeanyi is also a stylist with Aviva Online. She deals in jewelries, hair products, beauty products, and so many other things. So you can check her out on Facebook via Ifeanyi Eve Blessing. You know, in this country, someone cannot have only one hustle.
That's so my sister.
You need different places you can be getting money from. Yeah. You should go patronize. Our products are very good and affordable. And if only yourself, you testify after using it.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, so this is where we'll be ending the show for today. Remember to please share this episode link with your friends and family. Favorite my podcast if you're listening through the Anchor app by tapping on the yellow star icon. You can also advertise your products or services with us. So reach out to us across all social media platforms at The Truth Courier, or send an email to info.truthcourier@gmail.com to get in touch with us. Also, if you have a story to share, we are here for you. And before I go, I just want to do a special shout out to everyone who has been tuning in week after week to my show and dropping their reviews, contributions, and opinions. And also special thanks to all my guests for this season one, especially Nurse Ifeanyi here, who is here with us today. You guys are the real MVPs. I'm really grateful. Till next time, Pros Shea.